Morning, brothers and sisters. Let's have another word of prayer. Lord, we do just come unto you as that deer that would pant after the water. Lord, as we come to your word this morning, we do have one desire. It's to behold yourself in a very living way. And Lord, we thank you that you have equipped us to behold you. You have cleansed us with the blood of the Lamb. You have anointed us, your Holy Spirit, for speaking and hearing. By faith, we lay hold to the fullness of your provision, Lord, that you could accomplish within all of our hearts what you desire, Lord. Lord, we would leave this morning as satisfied dears from the presence of our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we turn this morning? I would like to read a few scriptures. The first from the book of Acts. Very familiar scriptures at this point. Acts chapter 1. We'll read verse 1 and then we'll skip down and read verse 8. Acts chapter 1. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach. And the words we'd like to focus on in that verse is all that Jesus began to do and teach, as Luke refers back to the gospel, to his gospel. And then we see in verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, even the remotest part of the earth. The call the Lord has there for us to be His witnesses there in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and the remotest part of the earth. If we could turn over to the Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, chapter 3. Ephesians 3, verses 17 to 19. As Paul writes to encourage the brethren, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. In the middle of verse 18 there, it speaks of comprehending with all the saints that breadth and length and height and depth. How the Lord has a desire that we not just comprehend by ourselves, but comprehending with all the saints the fullness of Himself. And finally, over in Revelation chapter 5, Revelation chapter 5, we see verses 9 and 10. These verses are a song that's being sung. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seal, for thou wast slain, and didst purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Thou hast made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. My heart today as we gather is that as we see what the Lord is doing in our midst, and we're thankful for what He's doing, that we would also in a fresh way be reminded that we're involved in a great work that He's doing throughout this earth. That as He's doing a work here among many lives and us as an assembly, that's not the end, but we're just part of a great work that He's been doing and doing and is still doing and will continue to do until His return. And that's really, if you want to summarize what the burden that I would share today, is that we would see, one way we could say, see beyond ourselves. We're very thankful for what we have, like the Lord's moved and led, but we would also see beyond to the vastness and the greatness of what our Lord is doing during this time and upon this earth now that we can see. and we can be thankful for what He has been doing for our generations. You know, I am very thankful for the way, the privilege we have of being part of a work locally here. But it's also a tremendous privilege to be involved in the great work that He's doing throughout the earth. And all of the relationships, it's amazing, we'll look at it later on, it's amazing all of the contacts and relationships that we, just as a small assembly here, a few people brought together, have throughout this earth. It's a marvelous testimony of His grace and mercy, of how He is calling a people from every tribe and tongue and nation unto Himself. He's calling us all together. Why? That He can show forth the excellency of Himself throughout all eternity. And may the Lord give us a glimpse of this. You know, we thank the Lord how He's been speaking to us here locally. I'm very thankful for the recent ministries of how we've been reminded of laying hold of all those precious and magnificent promises. And as we lay hold of them, of those individual promises, it leads us to the promise, that eternal kingdom, that heart that He has, bringing many sons to glory, of Him having a people that was in His kingdom throughout all eternity. We thank the Lord how He has reminded us that He's put before us a narrow gate, a narrow way. And He calls us to walk that way. Many things in this earth are pulling us in so many directions. But the Lord says, look, I have set a path before you. Walk in that. And the joy as we walk, as we enter in this narrow way, we go through this narrow path, we find as soon as we put our foot on it, that it's a vast, the riches. All of a sudden, this path that when we were on the outside of it looking in looks so narrow, we put our foot on that path, and then all of a sudden we're like Paul. We're seeing the breadth, the width, the height, all of these things that we never imagined. The only ones that path looks narrow to are the ones that aren't on the path. When you're on the path and where the Lord desires us to be, there's a breadth, a length, a height, and a width that's indescribable. And we thank the Lord for that. We thank the Lord the way He's encouraged us and seen how the Lord has made each one of us priests and kings unto Him. It's unto Him. We didn't have to qualify. We didn't have to be born of a certain family. But as He, with His great love, has redeemed each one of us and made us kings and priests unto our God. And that's our livelihood now. We live each day as kings, and He wants us to enter into that. Not as the kings of this world, but as the kings as modeled after His kingly character. He's made us priests to serve Him. The livelihood, our occupation of being priest unto Him. Not just putting on a fancy collar and a title, but a life being lived out. We thank the Lord for the way He speaks. You know, I thank the Lord also the way He's been working among us as we've sought the Lord for the direction for the assembly. Now, it's very precious as the brothers met week after week, after week after week, after month after month. But the wonderful faithfulness of the Lord was that He spoke. He showed us the direction, showed us His heart for the groups. He brought to the surface as we waited upon Him this whole matter of shepherding, of caring for one another. Praise God for that. We have a worship within our hearts. And now as we're starting to study the book of Acts, I'm so thankful that we're studying this book. I knew this is what we should study all along. You know, it just took y'all this long to get to it. But I'm thankful because even as those verses that we read, Luke showed us in his gospel all that Jesus began to do and teach. But then as we see in Acts, we see all that Jesus continues to do and teach throughout His body. And brothers and sisters, we know that the book of Acts is still being written. And that He's continuing to do and to teach throughout His body, throughout this earth, today and until His return. What a great work we've been able to enter into. What a great privilege we have set before us. What a tremendous thing. Now, when we're using this phrase, great work, what are we saying? Is this a cute little phrase of His great work? Actually, the Lord uses it several times throughout the Old Testament. He summarizes in Deuteronomy all that He did in getting the nation of Israel out. He says, you can see My great work that I did in Egypt to deliver you. It speaks of in the book of Judges, how when Joshua was getting ready to pass on, it says it was after Joshua and the generation that knew the great work of the Lord. But then after that, there came a generation that didn't know the Lord or His great work. The call upon us in this day is to know the Lord and His great work. Tremendous testimony of Nehemiah when they were in the midst of rebuilding the wall. The enemy was out there trying to distract him, trying to get him involved in things that he didn't need to be involved in. And what was Nehemiah's testimony? He said, we're doing a great work. We're doing a great work. It looked like a crummy little wall around a little city. But Nehemiah had seen the heart of God, and he knew they was involved in a great work. So what is this great work? Now, in one sense, we need to be careful when we start defining the things of the Lord. Because when we start to define the things of the Lord, His character, His nature, what we end up doing is really limiting them. Or confining them, if I can borrow that phrase. We confine it. Have you ever tried to describe the love of Christ? You know, Paul, in this letter that we read to the church in Ephesus, he starts to describe it. But then all of a sudden he's caught up in the breadth of it. There's a length, there's a width, there's a height. You can't describe the character and the things of the Lord. Try to describe the glory of the Lord, and you'll only limit it, because there will always be more. So whenever we try to define, I think I said describe, whenever we're trying to define things, what we're probably better off doing is describing the things of the Lord. And this is what Paul does for us. Throughout the New Testament, we see how he uses certain descriptions to describe this great work. Now, in a broad sense, we could say that this great work is the Lord preparing a people to be His eternal companion. That's a very broad sense. That's even a description. But His great work is so magnificent that even as Paul is trying to describe it, as the Holy Spirit is trying to pin it and to help us, even he can't find a one word to define it. But we can see all throughout the New Testament, when it comes to His great work, let's see. We'll see it at times. It's being described as a bride being made ready. And it's not like a bride. It is a bride. These are not similes. These are not as ifs. These are, it's a bride being made. When we look at this great work, it's a bride. When we look at this great work, Paul says, it's a house being built together. It's a body growing up. We have Christ the head, and we're His body. We have a family loving each other, all going through the process. We have children maturing into sons, not just staying as babes, but growing up, maturing. We have a mighty warrior being trained. We have Ephesians 6, a picture of a mighty warrior learning in the school of prayer to being trained and to do combat. We have a kingdom being made ready. We have a city being made holy. All of this work is going on in our lives, day in and day out, as the Lord's people. We have other descriptions too. We said earlier, a priest being trained. We have one new man. We have a people for God's own possession. You can go on and on describing His great work. And we know, as we see in Revelation 21 and 22, that in the end, we have that eternal companion. I'll just tear that off. We have that eternal companion. And what you'll see if you go back and read Revelation 21 and 22, You see the bride. Then through the process, you see the bride. You see the city, a holy city. You see kings. You see priests still trying to describe the fullness of it. And how is this bride made ready? How is this process work? It's through the working of the cross in our individual lives. And I made the cross red because it speaks of the blood of the Lamb, our very foundation. We have the blood of the Lamb being applied to our hearts and our lives day in and day out. How did they overcome? How did they overcome? They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Brothers and sisters, if we desire to get to this, to be formed into this eternal companion, how we need to allow daily the working of the cross in our life. And we thank the Lord because He is the one. He is the one who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but it's according to His own purpose and grace which He granted to us in Christ Jesus. It's in 2 Timothy 1:9. He has saved us and called us according to His own purpose, which He purposed in His Son, Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord, brethren. And this is my heart today, I've said it before, is that we see not only the great work the Lord is doing here, but we can also see the vastness and the greatness of the work that He's been doing and that He continues to do. You know, I thank the Lord as I look around this room for how the Lord has brought us together from so many places, from every tribe and tongue and nation. But why has He done that? Why has the Lord brought us together? You know, I thank the Lord also that we have contacts from so many places around this earth. We have contacts and they're used to see, to show us the reality of this great work. And as we see Him, it enlarges our vision. It encourages our faith as the Lord is working upon this earth. And we thank the Lord that we have the opportunities, particularly on Wednesday nights, to hold these matters before the Lord in prayer. But again, why has He done this? Why has He brought us together? And why has He made us aware and have all these contacts throughout the earth? And these are the two questions I'd like for us to consider. The why. Why we're together. Why we have these contacts. Well, first, I just wanted to kind of stop and see, you know, how the Lord's brought us together. And in that, I'm going to ask a couple of questions here. How many people in this room were born in Richmond? Raise your hand. Okay. Now, if you eliminate those under 25, you get that generation out of there. But it's really not that many. Put them up again. Born in Richmond. All right. Then you get all this other generation. Let me ask, too, how many were born or have lived outside the United States? You know? If we stop and if we look around, we see ones the Lord has brought together from Germany, from Ireland, Yugoslavia, originally Romania, then Yugoslavia. We have ones whose fathers are from Palestine. We have ones from wives are from South Africa. And we can go into India. You go over to Japan, China, Taiwan. So many wonderful places. We have fathers from Vietnam. And just so many wonderful places, ones that were born in the Philippines. But it's the Lord who has brought us all together that we might see, you know, what He's doing. Now, is this just a coincidence? Did this just happenstance? Brothers and sisters, I would say no to that. It's no coincidence, but it's the sovereignty of our precious Lord who's brought us together with that desire to be a testimony unto Him. A testimony unto the one who has loved us, the one who has died for us and called us unto Himself, that we might be a living expression of how He has purchased ones from every tribe and tongue and nation, that we might express His life. in the particular locality that we have here, that we are now. We're here in Richmond. But having said this, let's be clear also that another couple of questions. And as ones have said before, are we the church in Richmond? No. We're not. We're only a part of that church. We know a church in any locality is made up of all the believers in that locality. Are we the testimony of Him in Richmond? No. We simply gather unto Him in His name with the desire to be a testimony unto Him. We gather with the desire to be a testimony unto Him and a testimony unto the oneness that we share with all believers. Even with all of our imperfections, our weaknesses, our problems, our spots and wrinkles, we have that desire that His life would be expressed in our midst and that we could be that testimony unto Him and that we'd be faithful in our generation. This is what He's calling us to. And we thank the Lord. We want to praise Him for all He's doing, for all He has done, and the encouragement that we have of all He's going to do. And I'm so thankful to be part of this great work. It shows us how small we are, but it also lets us see how great and how big He is. I want us to, as we've looked at what He's done locally, I want to take a time now and look and see the vastness of this great work that He's doing. In one way, we can say we've seen the local, and now we want to look more at the universal. But as we consider this, there's something we need to keep in perspective. We need to keep in balance, because as human beings, we have this built-in tendency to swing to one extreme or the other. We're going to go one way. Why do you think diets are so popular? What diets are popular? If somebody came out and said, well, I've got this new diet for you. If you'll just eat three balanced meals a day, not too many calories, just eat from all the food groups, eat a very balanced meal, you think that book would be a bestseller? Nope. But if you write a diet, say, eat all the protein you want, everybody buy it. Or eat all the, eat all those carbohydrates. There's a special kind of carbs, not the white flour stuff, but your complex carbs. Yeah, you got to have the complex carbs. You go there. Or you got to have a grapefruit diet. Or you got to have a rice, the extremes. And we go billions of dollars. Because we're so fickle. You know, somebody comes out with a new exercise program. And somebody says, well, I've got this new exercise program. If you just exercise 20 minutes a day, 4 or 5 days a week, 3 or 4 days, you'll be fine. How many books do you think that would sell? You talk to all the pros, that's really all you need to do. But you talk about, now, you buy this gadget. This gadget you pull here and you see all these people exercising on television and they buy this gadget. It's amazing how many different ways they can make this little wheel. You know, you have the little wheel for your stomach and you go, whoa, whoa. I'm not going to ask how many people have one of those in their attic. But we have all, we go to these extremes one way or the other. Well, in our Christian life too, we allow this extremeness to come in. And and that's why I just want to, when we're talking about this matter of local or universal, it's not an either or question. We'll swing and we'll focus on the local, or we'll look over here at the universal. But no, there's a balanced life that the Lord wants us to enter into. And we see that by His grace, we can enter into this. And just to give you an example of this balanced life, the Lord is calling us because within Christianity, there are things that to our natural eye, they look opposing each other. Like, we look at this as either or. But it's not. In the Lord, it's a balance. Now, I hesitated even on using the word balance because in the world situation, that can mean compromise. Actually, probably in our, for us, we should use the word fullness. One L, two S's. Full. You see that writing? Now you know why I print my overheads. Okay. It's the full, it's a fullness of life that he's calling us to enter into. In the world, when we try to get balance, we end up compromising. We have two things that are not equal. And so what do? We'll either add something to the one side that shouldn't be there, or we take away a vital ingredient from the other to bring it down. What is the ecumenical movement throughout Christendom? Well, you try to bring all these people together, and now we've got to eliminate this to bring it so everything's equal. And we'll add that, even though they're not what we call Christian, we'll just call them, sons of God. And we start using all these broad generic terms to try to get a balance. And it's man's way. But in the Lord, balance is achieved through fullness. It's the fullness of Christ in our individual life. And it's the fullness of Christ in our corporate life that allows us to live a balanced life. It's the fullness of Him. And the only way we can live a balanced life, there's only been one balanced person on this earth, and that was our Lord. But praise God, now we have the balanced life. We have the full life within us, and He wants us to live that life out. He doesn't want, we have such tendencies. We can focus on our individual life. I've got to get my life straightened out in such a way. I'm going to read all these books. I'm going to spend this time alone. I need to get my individual life together. And we try to get all muscle bound in our individual life to the neglect of the corporate. And we end up just being, as some people would say, spiritual butterflies. We're only out there for our own self. We get a little bit here. We get a little bit there. And we're not related, but we're only focusing upon ourselves. Or we can look so much at our corporate life. We go such an extreme there that the individual's left out. We can go so much to the corporate life that we even leave Christ out. With all this focus on being together, then we get into communal living, and then it can become cultish. Brothers and sisters, in the fullness of the Lord, He wants the fullness of Himself expressed in each one. We can get into things such as predestination and free will. Now, we have a tendency, as I said, to go one way or the other in this. And if we get involved in predestination or even with the next divine sovereignty, you can just evolve into fatalism. Okay, sirrah, sirrah. What will be, will be. And we go on. And but the Lord is calling us at the same time as He has a wonderful plan for us and He is sovereign. He's wanting us to be responsible. We can swing so far the other responsible way that we just get into our own self-will, our self-righteousness. And we've gotten away from Him. The same thing with rest. We take rest, we got to rest in the Lord. And what do we end up doing? We can just be passive. Oh, I'm resting in the Lord. No, you're not. The Lord's saying, wake up, O sleeper. I'm resting in the Lord. No, you don't even hear Him hollering, wake up. So much He's wanting us. Then we can go the other way and it's all outward works. But we can see how the Lord is, we have these tendencies within us to go to one extreme or the other. And quite frankly, a lot of it gets determined by our own personalities. We can be, if you're the practical person, you're going to be, I'll just put, this is the P for practical. Practical people are going to lean this way. I've got to be diligent. I've got to do good works. I'm going to be responsible. And in a general, the practical people go this way. Over here, we have the dreamers. Oh, the Lord's so good. He's in control, and we're just dreaming along. But the Lord is actually wanting us to be both. We study the book of Acts. Oh, the Lord's just going to open this book to us. I'm going to sit here, and the Lord's just going to open it to me. And we sit there. And yeah, His Spirit will speak to us, but there's also this other side. And we swing one way, and that's why the Lord says, you know, as we get to know Him, He shows us ourselves and how we need to enter into this fullness of life. As we continue on, I was reading a sermon by Charles Spurgeon. And Spurgeon was talking about predestination and free will. But the principle applies, because he was saying this friend came up to him and he asked him, he said, how do you reconcile these two differences? How do you reconcile predestination and free will? They're against each other. And Charles Spurgeon said, no, you're all wrong on that. He said, enemies need reconciling. Things that are against each other need reconciling. But best friends never need reconciling. These are best friends because they're both of our Lord. They're best friends because they come from His heart. They're of Him. As we go through this life, some have described these as a rail, two rails. And we stay on the two rails. We continue and we reach the great goal that we have. These rails. The problem with us is we get on one rail or the other, and then we get derailed. But if we look at it as there's these two rails in our life of how He wants us to live this balance, this fullness of life. But as I said, we look upon this as two rails. But you know, when He looks upon it, when our Lord looks upon it, He kind of turns it on the side. And you know, when you turn two rails on the side, what do you see? You just see one. He sees His Son. He sees Christ. It's just a different perspective. You take two pieces of paper. You have these two rails. But yet when you turn them side by side, you just see one. And that's where the Lord is trying to get us to see things from His perspective, not just our perspective. He's calling us into that. And so when we consider this matter of locality and universality, it's not an either or question. Because if we end up focusing just on the local, there was a group that actually ended up being created called the local church. And they were exclusive and they felt they were the church because they focused so much on locality that you can forget about the universal work that the Lord's doing. If you go so much to the universal side, the great work, this universal church that the Lord is doing, if you focus on that, you can lose perspective of the local work that He's doing. You will see what happens with ones that end up focusing upon this universal church is that they can't deal with any imperfections because this heavenly church is so perfect. Anything imperfect couldn't be the Lord. That's, to me, one of the beauties as we're studying the book of Acts. Because we see from the very beginning, we see God is doing a great work, but we also see how, as He's doing this great work, He uses imperfect vessels. He always has. Sometimes we can read the book of Acts with rose-colored glasses, but we have the beauty of the book of Acts is we see imperfect vessels like us finding the perfect one to handle their problems and situations. And in that, He really shows forth His glory. He manifests Himself with an Ananias and Sapphira. When we have the widows in trouble that aren't being fed or complaining, the Lord manifests Himself. And in this, we see His wonderful way. So, let me say too that when we're speaking of this, of the church, local and universal, it's one church. Now, this has been said before many times. But it's one church. The Lord says, I will build my church. And if this one church consists of all of those from the day of Pentecost, from that first church in Jerusalem, all the way up to now and until the Lord returns. This is referred to, and here again, in a descriptive way, not a definition. You don't see this term in the Scripture. I'm using the term universal church. That's a description. That's not a definition. We're just describing the vastness of it. We're so limited by words. And so don't anybody go and say, Mac, I don't see universal church in the Scripture. You won't see that phrase, but you'll see a description of it. You'll see it being described, that universality. You know, our Lord, but how is this church built? It's built through, in each locality, as brothers and sisters come together, and as they find the Lord's life in each situation, they allow the Lord to come in, and His character and His nature is developed and built within brothers and sisters, and we see the Lord and His church is being built. Thank the Lord that we don't have to focus on, it's not an either or. We're not focusing as we're talking about what the Lord's doing locally or doing universally. We're not talking an either or, but it's all one work, His great work that He's doing. And we thank the Lord that we can see it. Now, again, why has the Lord opened all these doors and windows for us to see throughout the world His great work? Well, we've already touched on a couple of them. We've said that it's to remind us locally that we're involved in a great work, that we are not just, this isn't it, but we're involved in a great work. It also is used to expand and enlarge our vision, enlarge our capacity, and increase our faith as we see the great work that He's doing. But there's another aspect too, and it increases our burden for prayer. As we see this great work that the Lord is doing, it increases our burden for prayer because we realize just as we pray for ourselves, as we have a desire to be built together here, brothers and sisters throughout this world are going through the same problems and when they have to be built together. It's the same challenge. And so they find themselves in similar circumstances. And so when we pray for ourselves being built together, we can also be praying for them. But also we see, as we hear from many places, that because of the different countries that ones live in, they're quite different circumstances. And so we pray for those different ones. We here in the States, as we pray for ourselves, the circumstances we live in we're in a country of affluence. And we have so much of everything. But then so much of the world has such a lack. And so the Lord wants us to be praying for one another, that we not only support one another as the Lord's doing this work, but we could support one another as the Lord's doing His work in specific localities. Now the Lord, and I'll just refer to a couple of verses, but in Mark 11:17, this verse is repeated in the different Gospels, but I used 11:17 because of one phrase. When the Lord is speaking of His house, and He says, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations. House of prayer for all the nations. And in Ephesians 6, we see the training in this wonderful ministry of prayer there. But even in 6:18, how the Lord says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. The prayer there in Ephesians 6 is for all the saints. We're supporting one another in prayer. And even as we have in 1 Peter 5:9, the Lord is speaking there. If we pray for one another because our brethren throughout the world, it says, they're knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by our brethren who are around the world. Our brothers and sisters around this earth, they're going through many of the same things we're going through, And they're going through many of the different things we're going to. Now, I'd like for us to consider, and I'm going to go ahead and finish this up in a moment, and we'll consider some parts of it later on. But I'd like for us to consider some of the places we have contacts. And these places that we have, you know, we pray for them on Wednesday night and other times. We're supporting financially. We support through helps of the tape ministry and transcripts, and even some from these places have visited us, and some from here have visited there. And we're very thankful for this, the wonderful way the Lord has opened up doors. You know, one of the ways that the Lord has opened up doors through the last year in contacts is through the website. And if we look at this, let's see. Can y'all, Glenn, can you flip those lights off a second to see if that helps any? Doesn't help a whole lot, but. Oh, okay. I'll do those too. Anyway, okay. But these shaded countries are the countries that contacted the Christian Tape Ministry website last year. Over 19,000 downloads. If you look throughout South America, Africa, every continent is represented there. Throughout the world, and we thank the Lord for that. And it's provided contacts throughout all these towns. One of the ways, too, one of the great vehicles the Lord has used in opening up doors and all is the family conference here. Years ago, over 25 years ago, there was a burden amongst some brothers here locally that there would be a conference where the Lord would have a vehicle where He could share a prophetic word related to His eternal purpose. And that's really been the theme and the overall burden for this family conference for many years. There are many wonderful conferences throughout this country, throughout the world. But as the Lord had burdened ones here many years ago, wanted a specific conference related to speaking forth that prophetic word related to His eternal purpose. And it was started by faithful ones here in Richmond. And as it's grown over the years, we thank the Lord now that there's over 15 different assemblies from primarily the East Coast that are sponsoring this conference together. And we gather, been gathering for years at the University of Richmond. And it was announced last week about the opportunities that everyone has to serve during that time. And the announcement wasn't made this week because I know everybody went up and volunteered, and so there's no more needs. Isn't that an ideal? Talk about naive. But I hope you get the point. It's still time and opportunity to serve. But one of the riches of this conference is how ones come from all over the world. And we have opportunities to be enriched by them and their fellowship and to see what the Lord's doing. Now, I'm going to go ahead and stop here in a moment. The next time I share, we'll look at specific works that the Lord is doing that we know of throughout this earth, such as Russia and China and Cuba, and specific ones that even from ones from here have gone. And it's very precious that, the other month, this isn't the precious part, but the other month, there was those missionaries were martyred in Yemen at that hospital in Jibla. Well, a few years ago, we had a brother from here that was there, and he knew those ones there. That's a contact that here, this a little group here in Richmond, Virginia, through the grace of God, His sovereignty, allows us to have a contact there. Many such wonderful testimonies of that, and I'm very thankful for. So we want to share the next time on not only touch on some of these works, but also the lessons we can learn as we are involved with our brothers and sisters in these different places. We can learn these lessons. And if we look at this map, this shows us, I had to do my own, I had to color in some things. This shows us, this, as we said, this is from the tape ministry, the website. But as we shade in these other countries, this shows us all the various areas. Throughout the world, that this little assembly has contacts and relationships with. That's pretty amazing. And I'm sure there are more that I have left off. And if anybody has one, just let me know, and if next time we can put that in there. But we have them throughout North America, all throughout South America, all throughout Europe, Russia, China and India, Papua New Guinea, Borneo and Singapore, Australia, New Zealand, even through Yemen, Bahrain. You know, we thank the Lord for how He allows us to have these different contacts. And why has He given us these contacts? That we would allow these to expand us. We would allow this to enlarge us. We would see His great work. And that He would give us a greater capacity for prayer. He desires that His house would be a house of prayer for all the nations. And as we are trained in this school of prayer, as we give ourselves to it, as we give ourselves to this work of prayer, would we allow Him to show us the vastness of His self and His heart and allow us to see beyond just our little worlds into the greatness of what He's doing. We're very thankful to the Lord for so great a salvation. We're thankful to the Lord for His great work. And may He just use even what we've shared today to allow us to see how He wants us to enter into the fullness of His life in a balanced way. Where maybe we've been, any of us individually, we've been unbalanced. May He bring us into a balance through adding more of Himself. As we decrease, as He increases, the fullness of His heart and life comes out, and we see the wonderful testimony of His life. So may we pray. Lord, we do worship You today. We thank You, Lord, how You have called us with such a holy calling. You have set us apart, Lord, for such a great work. Lord, we confess that so often we limit You because of the smallness of ourselves. But Lord, we simply desire that as You are working in each one of our lives, we could also have the eyes of our hearts enlightened to see the greatness of the work that You've been doing through the generations, that You're doing now, and what You will be doing until You return. Help us, Lord, that we could be those that would hasten Your return. In Jesus' name, amen.